So, why am I being light when I have a title, something more serious than cancer? It turns out, by the way, that when I said more serious than cancer, that just picks up on the way we used to talk where I grew up. And it's like, are you serious? I'm as serious as cancer. Apparently up here, the staff tells me, we say, I'm as serious as a heart attack. Or perhaps today you say, I'm as serious as coronavirus. But it's very, very serious, more serious than ailments, more serious than fright. And by the way, cancer is very scary stuff. I mean, my sister, my parents' middle child, my sister Ann contracted cancer, and it was at stage 4, and we discovered it right after Christmas. She wasn't feeling good at Christmas, and lo and behold, I think it was in January, they discovered she had stage 4, it was ovarian cancer in this case, and they did surgery, couldn't get everything, and I asked the doctor, I said, what are the chances that she'll be alive in 5 years? And he said, about 30%. And she just made it and then died. And in the midst of this, there were special charitable flights to MD Anderson. You had the American Cancer Society had the wigs that you can get when you go through chemo, and there was a lot of nausea, and then she went into hospice care, and it is a terrible thing to face through this, and yet she had the love of friends and the love of the Lord. And so how can you say this is more serious than cancer? Well, let's look at the text today and we will see what we're talking about. We're going to be in the 5th chapter, the last verses of that, if we could bring that up. We don't have that. Okay. This is not in the oldest translations, so I'm not sure what happened here. But anyway, let's go to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Let's just stand, and I don't think we're all in the same translation, so I'll just read it, okay, this time. 1 Peter 5, 8 to the end of the book. Be serious. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him and be firm in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. Now, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little. The dominion belongs to him forever. Amen. I have written you this brief letter through Silvanus. I know him to be a faithful brother, to encourage you and to testify that this is the true grace of God. Take your stand in it. The Church of Babylon, also chosen, sends you greetings, as does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. So be seated, and we will track through this. By the way, this is very much like the text of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Let me just read this very quickly. Do you remember Martin Luther's famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God? He talks about the devil is very powerful. He says the devil is very powerful, but he says he's overcomable. He says, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great and armed with cruel hate, and on earth is not his equal. By the way, you don't want to end that hymn by just singing the first verse, because you left it like, on earth is not the equal to the devil. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Of course, this is Jesus. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he, Lord Sabaoth, or Lord of hosts. His name from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them, abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever. That's the message of this text today. Now, let's just track down through this. He says, be alert, be on your guard, be serious. don't be addled. Don't be frivolous when it comes to these sorts of things. We get pretty serious about coronavirus. We get pretty serious about cancer, worried about carcinogens and the many ways we protect ourselves with airbags and fiber diets and, you know, get the asbestos out of the attic and all this kind of stuff. He says, on spiritual matters, you better be as serious as that. You better be as serious as cancer, you might say, regarding that. Look, tonight we're going to talk, we're going ahead with service tonight, and John Clucky is going to talk about Genesis 4. We're going to be using some of the guys who've preached before. I thank Jacob and then Rich, who filled in the other day, and then we have a few others. By the way, Tubal Cain shows up in the fourth chapter of Genesis, and he was the first metal worker, so we get a metal worker to talk tonight about Genesis 4. But afterwards, we have question mark, and you guys throw all kinds of interesting stuff at me. Like somebody wants me to talk about Calvinism, and somebody wants to talk about eldership, and another about evolution, and can you be a Christian and believe in it? So y'all have fun. I won't be here for that. No, I'll be here. But at any rate, let me just tell you very quickly. I mentioned this at one night. I took a trip down the Grand Canyon with Answers in Genesis, and they take a bunch of faculty members every year, and there are about 25 of us, went 6 days, 190 miles down the canyon, and they were trying to persuade us that actually the canyon was cut in just a couple of days instead of millions of years. And one of the arguments they used was that you have limestone that is cut in S's and U's and curls, and it's very smoothly done, and it says you can't bend limestone once it's set. So they say basically it cut it when after the flood, when the concrete, so to speak, was still wet. Well, at any rate, most of the guys, I think, on the trip, going in at least, didn't believe that. But they said, look, we don't ask you to agree with us. What we do, and this happened actually at one of the nighttime lectures, they said, just put on our glasses. We're not asking you to agree with us. Just try to see it through our glasses for this week. And what he's saying is, listen, I mean, the world is telling you 1,000 things about heaven and life and goodness and all this kind of stuff and what's right and what's wrong and what's up and what's down. But would you just put on our glasses. Just try to see it through the Bible's lens and see how that gets you. And he says, you better do this. You'd better get this straight in biblical terms. So we're that serious. Don't walk around addled. And he says the adversary is after you. It's a personal devil. Now, they used to have a joke. I think, was it Flip Wilson who used to say one of his lines was, the devil made me do it, ha, ha, ha. Like, no, there is a devil. There is a person who wishes you ill, who wants to wreck you. And he has assistants. Read Screwtape Letters. You know, that's not the Bible. But there are minions and there are demons. And Jesus cast them out. They're really there. The other night was at Marsh's place. We heard a lady named Jenna Jessen talk. We were out at the main auditorium at the college here, and she talked about being targeted for an abortion. It was a remarkable thing. Her mom was given a saline abortion, and you put that burning sort of thing, and you ingest it, and it burns you, and so forth. And then after about 24 hours, you are aborted. And she was a tough cookie, and when she came out 18 hours later, she survived. Now, she has cerebral palsy as a result of it. She had to stand this kind of way, but she gave a testimony to the glory of Christ and the strength of the Lord, and she basically said the devil tried to kill her, and the devil failed, and now she's testifying to Christ. Please understand that he wants to do you harm. And he can do it in a variety of ways. I mean, I think of some of the training I had in the Army. It's called like NBC course, NBC defense course at Fort Carson, Colorado, nuclear, biological, chemical. We saw the most horrifying videos, some back from World War and shots back from World War I even, where you had people who had suffered from mustard gas with all these eruptions and so forth, and they staked a goat up to something or other, and they turned VX gas or sarin on him, and all the jumpings and so forth and so on. It was just a terrible death that he lived. And then we studied about like battlefield nuclear weapons, where you have a 10 kiloton yield or something, and then you have this plume that goes out, this radioactive plume, and you have we were doing all these downwind calculations, like where the rad's the highest or the Rentgen's the highest. And boy, you drive your Jeep through that and you might get something like 30 rads in 1 minute or something. And it's like, yikes. And the devil is spraying, in a sense, broad destructive things around about. I mean, there are things in the culture, there are movies, there are things in the university, there are things even from some pulpits that are just crazy wrong, and if you inhale them, and if you take them into your system, you will be wrecked, and he is spraying that stuff everywhere. But he's also very particular. There was a case of a dissident Russian who was accosted in London. I don't know if you remember this case. I saw it, I think, on some television show, and a guy poked him with an umbrella. Did you see that? And there was a little pill, so to speak, of plutonium that went into him, very specifically targeted. And you see him wasting away from these mutagenic things and the kind of a cancerous thing. And he's just wrecked. And the devil knows exactly where your weak points are. We always talk about he triggered. He no, we're not talking about trigger. Oh, I was offended. You know, they said, hey, Four Eyes, where are you going? Like, how dare you, sir? I wear these glasses on prescription, you know? I mean, we're not talking about being triggered. We're talking about the devil knows how to get you wrecked. He knows what really draws you aside. He knows that friend who can say something that'll get you in the wrong place. He knows where you like to go sometimes on the internet. He knows a certain conversation, a certain thing to read. And he says, I'm going to do a job on him. And it's just like that particular thing that then causes you to just be wrecked. And he says, make no mistake, you're not here in like happy land. You're here in a real tough spot. And so what do we make of it? Well, he'll devour you. He'll ruin you. He'll wreck you. It's the same word, actually, when you translate through the Greek, that talked about the great fish who swallowed Jonah. Now, I'm not trying to pick on him, but I'll just give you as a simple example. When I went to the second Southern Baptist Convention ever, it was in Kansas City, second I ever went to, I think it was like 84, 85, and they had at the pastor's conference a guy who spoke just this fiery message about just the things of God and standing and this and that, and his name was Frankie Schaeffer. There's a famous Christian philosopher and minister named Francis Schaeffer. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he produced a film series and a book called How Then Shall We Live, or How Shall We Then Live, or I forget, I get it wrong sometimes, and another film series about abortion called Whatever Happened to the Human Race. And we spoke at Wheaton once. I had him in one of my classes. He and Edith came to my bioethics class, and they were just champions. And here's Frankie, and boy, he helped produce this video series. And one thing after another, after another, after another, and I was just reading this in my, I'm in school, so I go to academic sources like Wikipedia here. It says, that's a joke, by the way, starting with his 2014 book, Why I Am an Atheist Who Believes in God, he has described himself as an atheist, saying that even though he attends church every weekend and prays, I do not always believe, let alone know, if God exists. I do not always know he, she, or it does not exist either, though there are long patches in my life when it seems God never did exist. Schaeffer has stated that one of his goals of his book is to, quote, unhook young evangelicals from allegiance to the Bible. What happened to you? And there are other examples. He was a preacher at the Southern Baptist Convention Pastors Conference, and now he's trying to unhook us from the Bible. Well, we shouldn't be surprised. He says the devil is going around, and he's just one simple example. He is trying to unhook you from the Bible. He's trying to unhook you personally from the Bible and devour you. By the way, lions aren't always bad in the Bible. Jesus is called the Lion of Judah, you know, but this is a roaring, bad, bad lion. Now he says, resist the devil. You remember in James 4:7, it says, resist the devil and he will flee. Luther says a single word will just melt him. I mean, it's really amazing how if somebody says, let's do this, or in your own heart and your own personal whatever reflections, you're thinking, yeah, I'd be okay. And he says, no, I'm going to do this other thing. Well, it's not like you're like Liechtenstein invading the Soviet Union or something. You know, you think, oh, I'm overpowered. I can't possibly handle this sort of thing. It says, no, you, just Christian, you can say, uh-uh, ain't going to go there. That's not me. What else have we got going here? All right? And so understand the power of that, of resisting the devil. And it says, stand firm in the faith. That doesn't mean like strengthen your own resolve, like the little engine, I think I can. Like, hey, let's go out and get, you know, plastered tonight or something like that, and then get drunk and get in our pickup and go shoot the neighbor's cows. That'll be fun, you know, just good old boy night. And he says, no. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Stand firm, but it's not like I think I can. No, you stand firm in the faith, capital T, capital P. The faith once for all delivered to the saints. You stand firm in the teaching of the Bible and say, I'm not going to do Bible this time and then over here I'm going to go slumming. It's like, no, you stand firm in the Word of God, in the gospel, in the faith. That's where you have your safety and your strength. And then he says, listen, know that the same sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. Look, I got this thing in the mail the other day from, it's called Traveling Mr. C Wants to Anchor Down in Your Part of the World. I did some work at Vanderbilt once, so I got this little thing in the mail, had to tear it out. And what I'm supposed to do with it is wherever I travel in the world, I'm supposed to take a selfie and send it in. Here I am at the Taj Mahal, you know, bada boom. Here I am, you know, in the Grand Canyon. And then you send it in. You could win $200 if yours is selected. So Vandy people all over the world, that's actually very frightening. I'm not encouraging that. But here we go. But let's do that with Christianity. Let's have believers all over the world. I've got a couple of tracks here from the office. Experiencing God's grace, steps to peace with God. And so take these. Grace and peace are mentioned in this text. And wherever you go, let's just imagine they're doing this. Let's go into Kabul, Afghanistan. Let's go into Pyongyang, North Korea. Let's go in and you go to all the places the Christians are and say, here I am, here believe. Now, can you imagine a book with all these people? Here we are. Yes, there's concern over this sort of thing, but you talk about concern. Try to be an evangelical, explicit, witnessing Christian in the Upper Nile, in Kabul, in Iraq, you know, in Baghdad, in North Korea, in China. Thank you, China, for that, too. Treating Christians like dirt. And can you imagine just seeing believers all over the world at one time saying, here we are, standing with peace and faith in God. He says, look at these dudes. If you think you're going to whine and impress me with your sad sack stuff, just look at these brothers all over the world who can say, I believe in Christ, and they're dead. I mean, there are places on earth where if you come from a Muslim background, they will put you to death if you become an apostate. And it's great. I mean, just let ISIS get a hold of you. And yet, those are your brothers and sisters in Christ. So just take it's good not to be alone in persecution. What's our persecution? We may not get invited to certain parties. We may not advance in our job. We may not be promoted, you know. We may not be thought well of. We may be part of the gossip at the Coke machine or something like that. Like, well, la-di-da. Over here, they're killing your brothers and sisters. So stand with them. Whatever comes your way, be strong. No people are getting beat up all over the place. And then he says, the God of all grace who called you will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you. By the way, isn't that nice that he'll personally do it? I know it's important. If your business does this, I'm not hacking on you. But isn't it frustrating to dial and get a recording? Listen to our menu, you know. If you have a little dog named Bob, you know, whatever. If you know this, do you have this question? Go to our frequently asked questions thing. You'll visit our website, you know, don't like anything. Give me a person, please, you know. And God says, look, it's not as though if you've got a problem, if you're debilitated, if you're broken and so forth, you call this number. Go look in the back. These are key verses for comfort. Just read those. He says, I will personally go to work on your little bitty case, your whatever it is, billions of people on earth. I know you. From this site, you look like a little fabric in the carpet. But I know you, and personally, I'm going to give you everything you need to get back on your feet. And by the way, he gets it done. I mean, God bless chemotherapy. God bless radiation. God bless all this stuff that my sister had that prolonged her life for several years. But God says, I'm not just here to prolong your little sad life or something like that. He says, I am here. I have dominion, and I'm going to cure you. I will. Look at the words he has here. I mean, he says, I will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little. The dominion belongs to him. As my son says in his, he's my pastor down in Tennessee, as he says, you know all those guys that got their heads cut off? God will put them back on. Can't do that at MD Anderson, you know, or the Mayo Clinic. He is going to make sure that you are completely healed, Christian, that you are completely restored. And if your fortunes, if your reputation, if your health are destroyed on this earth, he says, well, guess what? You're all going to get well eventually. This side of the grave or that side of the grave or both. That's a promise he makes. He says, I've written you this brief letter through Silvanus. That's Silas, you know. Silas went with Paul, and I know him to be a faithful brother, to encourage you and to testify that this is the true grace of God. Look at the two things he's got, encouragement and truth. We got a lot of people offering encouragement without truth, and you got to have them both. But you can do truth without encouragement. You can be harsh. Look, I was driving around Indianapolis one day on what they call the real Indianapolis Raceway, that is 465, as you go around, and I heard a whole radio preacher say that a fellow was on a train one night, an old traveling salesman was going along the same bleak stretch of the Midwest. I think it was after the corn was harvested, and it was just cold, and there was a lady on the train for the very first time, and she had a little baby with her, and she was going to see relatives, and he saw her, and he looked over at the, and every time the conductor passed, she said, now, I need to get off at, and he heard the deal, a particular stop. Would you tell me when we're there? Oh, yeah, I got you. Come through again. Well, sir, I hate to bother you, but, you know, I've never ridden this train. I don't know. Just please, will you prompt me? I've got you. Well, lo and behold, that train came to the stop, and there's no conductor. And the guy's like, where is that guy? He said, lady, this is your stop. He said, are you sure? He said, no, I've been on this train for years. Are you sure? Yes, go on. So she grabbed everything and like that and then just stumbled off. And they're going down, and I think it was like 15, 20 minutes later, the conductor comes by, and the guy says, where were you? You said you were going to help this lady. And he said, well, I am. He said, no, but with the stop? He says, no, we added an extra stop tonight. We had to offload some farm equipment just a concrete pad out there. And it was a brutally snowy night. And they did their best to turn the train around. And they finally get back there. They can't find her. They're searching all around with flashlights for her and the baby. It took the dawn for them to find her up against a barbed wire fence about a quarter mile away, dead, with that baby. Encouragement, love, fellow feeling, compassion, no truth. Please understand that without truth, whatever encouragement you get for your soul and your destiny is deadly. Both encouragement and truth. He says, take your stand in the grace of God. The church in Babylon also chosen sends your strength, as does Mark, my son. John Mark, who was actually the one who helped write down Peter's, who wrote down Peter's preaching and was assistant to him. He's not his literal son. He's his son in the Lord. Babylon, we pretty much think, is Rome. It's referred to as Babylon in Revelation. And some people think, it's kind of a code, you know, that you don't say, like, okay, we're here in Rome, you know, because it's dangerous. Yeah, maybe. Maybe that was it. In fact, I've seen people write from the Middle East that'll say, we gave swimming lessons to three last Sunday, which means we baptized three. Kind of keep it coded down. Or sometimes when you write missionaries, you say, don't say that word missionary, because they can monitor this sort of thing. Some people think it was just, that was just generally the milieu they were in, and they referred to it as Babylon, the place of captivity, because it's really not our home. The way in Evanston sometimes we would say, well, I live in the People's Republic of Evanston. Everybody knew what that was about. No veal. You know, the Boy Scouts are thrown out of the United Way because they didn't have gay scoutmasters back then. You know, aha, the, like, you know, totalitarian regime. we all knew what it was. Well, people knew what he was talking about here. And he sends greetings. He says, greet one another with a kiss of love. By the way, this is funny. I'm reading a book on Columba, who was one of the founders of the faith in Scotland. And I found out here, there are two pages on liturgical kisses and welcome kisses. They used to kiss. Real big deal. One guy got in such a rush to kiss Columba that he knocked over his inkwell and his ink went everywhere. Like, these guys were serious about kissing. I was doing something in Moscow once with a guy named Leighton Ford, and we were dealing with some former rough birds. There are Spetsnaz warriors and stuff. And at the end of the week, those that we were teaching evangelism and so forth in Moscow, they would come up and kiss you on the lips. No. Just no. One more reason not to like the Russians. I'm just saying, no, I'm kidding. No, it was really touching, but it's like, you know, homie, don't play. This, you know, okay, fine. But it basically means culturally, we're just to greet one another. Today, it's more like, you know, this kind of thing, or with the Purell, whatever. But whether it's a handshake, a little hug, or whatever, he says, look, be physically affectionate with one another. Just a, you know, whatever. Or whatever the culture says, perhaps in some culture you do this. I don't know. But that's what we're talking about here. And then it says, greet one another, a kiss, peace to all of you who are in Christ. Look, if you're not in Christ, you're not in peace. You know, it's kind of like, peace to all of you in the ark. Those of you who are outside the ark, ain't no peace. I worked pretty hard the last 3 days getting together a proposal on a book I've been working on for like 7 years about the spiritual life of Marshall University. You remember We Are Marshall, about the plane crash that wiped out the football team? And we're focusing kind of on a revival that happened on campus after the plane crash. But if you recall the story, and it was a movie, they put the team together essentially with freshmen and sophomores, people who weren't wiped out. And they come back, and they actually had walk-ons, you know, just all kinds of people, and they put together this deal, and they beat Xavier. I don't know if you remember, and it's on the last play of the game, and Reggie Oliver, the quarterback, is. And by the way, a lot of people, I found three quotes right now where they were reflecting on this, and they're saying, one guy said, you know, we had people watching, but from a great perspective. They had the best seats in the house. You know what they're saying. The team that was killed is up in heaven looking down at this, at what the young thundering herd are doing. And oh, we feel good about that. And, you know, it's just like, well, they're, you know, with the angels now or this and this and this. And we just throw that. And it's understandable. You don't want to say harsh things. But of the 37, I think it was 37 players who died, and then there were townspeople and so forth, and, of course, flight crew. Out of that 75 people who died, I submit, if I'm standing in the faith once delivered to the saints, there weren't 75 people in heaven looking down. Now we say that, it's just a nice little social thing. But folks, as I understand it, I mean, in America today, let's say I think 49 have died from the coronavirus and 22 in one nursing home in Washington, all right? Relatively small. But do you realize today, unless things change, there are hundreds of millions of Americans who are facing something much worse than the coronavirus, much worse than cancer, much worse than a heart attack. They are facing an eternal separation from God. And yet we just run around with our hair on fire on lesser things, and yet we're just like, oh, whatever, different strokes for different folks, it'll all work out, it'll all pan out, I don't want to offend this, I'll lose this, I'll make them feel bad, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Look, you don't do that with your mask, you don't do that with your virus. I mean, you're running around taking food to people, and you're saying, watch this, and you're daily watching this and this, and while 100 million people in America are going to hell. So as we're getting serious about this, whatever this is, we should get as serious as cancer with regard to our own souls and with regard to our neighbors about the plague, about the administrations, about the attack of the devil who can destroy your soul. Right? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us medical savvy, and thank you for giving us the media and all these things that help us protect against various things. But oh God, lift the message of your true grace, your true faith, high in America through us, that we might be as solicitous of our neighbors and our own souls as we are about these health scares. Dear God, forgive us for being laid back about these things. Thank you so much for saying we will be well, we will be cured, but only in Christ Jesus. Christ, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for bringing us eternal health and life and joy in a realm free from the flesh, the devil, the world. Make us agents of your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of stanzas. Last week, Ashton came forward and said she's ready to plant her flag as a follower of Christ. If you've not done that, if you're not standing in the faith, but you're just observing or admiring the faith, or ridiculing the faith, or thumbing your nose at the faith, it's time to step into the faith once delivered for the saints on the basis of repentance and trust in Christ. Let's stand, and I will, down here, I don't even have to touch you. Just come down and we'll talk, all right? As we close, I want you to do this. I appreciate the sister down here praying. That's a great tradition in our churches. I'm going to pray down here, and if you'll just sit down and perhaps lean forward on the pew ahead, think of one person. If you knew someone who was having grave respiratory problems somewhere in a hospital locally, faced with this virus and whatever, chances are you would pray for that person. Think of someone who is dying of sin, who's dying to face the judgment and not forgiveness in Christ. And we'll just take a moment. Could you perhaps just sing or lead us in that? And just have a seat. Just perhaps bow your head, lean forward on that. I'll be down here. And by the way, this is a wonderful place to come pray during the invitation. But please, just Alan. Thank you. We have a response room up here across from the offices, and you can talk. Those of you in Radio Land, is that how you say it? In Radio Land, listening in today, please contact us. We'd love to talk to you about the faith. Did I call you Alan again? Okay, it's David. I keep calling him Alan because there's this Alan that does music here. It's kind of like Daryl, my other brother Daryl. I mean, but anyway, I know. Great to have you today. Thanks for coming out. And let's just be prayerful. People are in danger in America. Little d from this. People are in big danger in America, big D. Let's pray for that. Let's stand, and let's sing Doxology, first verse, one more time, okay? Please stand, and we'll dismiss with this.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures.